have your Bibles and I'd like to turn with me. I'd like to read to you tonight from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. I want to read the last verses that are in this chapter that deal with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and also those of God's children who are asleep in Jesus, those who have died and passed on. And this is the writings of the Apostle Paul unto the church at Corinth. This chapter is often called the resurrection chapter. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this passage of scripture contains the absolute importance of us preaching and teaching the doctrine of the resurrection of the body of the Lord's people and of their bodies. We believe in a God who saved his people completely, saved all of them. He didn't save part of them. He didn't just save the soul, didn't just change the spirit, but that the Lord saved us and will have us with him in glory, body, soul, and spirit forever. And this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians tells us much information about something that to man is a great, great mystery. And just pray for me tonight as we look at this passage together. I know this is very familiar to you. You don't hardly have funerals that you don't hear this passage either read or spoken from. And we're going to look at another place over in the book of 1 Thessalonians tonight, the Lord being with us, that also speaks of this, that kind of runs in line with this. So we want to look at both of those passages together. I appreciate the sweet prayer that's been offered. And, you know, the voice is a tool that we use, but it can crack and maybe not be. I thought it was sounded fine, Brother Bobby. I didn't hear anything in it that sounded bad, but I felt his heart tonight, and that means so much. And we're very, very thankful for that. I believe you're praying for me tonight. And if you're not, please start. Please begin right now. Just ask the Lord to be with me, to give me what I need to be able to feed you. This little congregation is very special. Each of you are very special to me. Really, all of God's children are special to others of God's children. We have a fellowship that and a kinship in the Lord. You're my brothers and you're my sisters. You're my kin. And there's much in God's Word that if the Lord will bless us as ministers of the gospel, it's filled with information that God's little children need. Now, I can't give you an ear to hear it. The Lord does that. And I can't give you an eye to see it or a heart to understand it. That comes from God. But tonight I believe that He's given you faith, which is the eye and the ear and the understanding that you've been given by Almighty God to understand things of His Word. And the preaching of the gospel, we're told in the Word of God, is the righteousness of God being revealed from faith to faith. Which means tonight as we're sharing the gospel, and that is the message of God, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, we're talking to God's children about the righteousness of God and what that means to us, and we're sharing that from faith to faith. That means from the faith that God has given me to the faith that God has given you. And if He hadn't given us both faith, none of us would know any of these things. And so it takes the power of Almighty God and the wisdom of God and the ability God has given us for us to share the gospel tonight. It's just not an intellectual thing. That's why this thing called death and all about it is a great mystery to man. You know, when you start talking about how much we know about death, there's very little that we really know about death. Until we go there, we won't know a lot of things. And I'm not pretending tonight to tell you everything about death, because the Bible doesn't tell us everything. But what the Bible tells us is everything that you and I need to know right now about death, so that we do not have to not tonight be afraid of death. And if that you can be delivered from that, wouldn't that be important tonight for all of us to have the deliverance to know that dying is not something for us as God's children to be afraid of? But though it's a mystery to the world, and though it's not something you naturally long for, to God's little children, it's a precious, precious thing in the sight of God, the death of His saints, even to leave this world. Not only that, but to remember that up until that time, we're in the hands of Almighty God. We're never outside of His watch care. We believe tonight in a God who has a people that He loved in covenant before the very foundation of the world. And there is nothing that can separate you from His love. Therefore, He is looking out for you, not to be against you, but for you. Isn't it good to know that the Lord is for us and not against us? And I want to declare that to God's little children tonight. That doesn't mean that we can't sometimes become, in a way, disobedient to Almighty God and get outside of His direction and outside of His counsel, and He will chasten us and correct us. Brother John read from Psalm 23, and remember it says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And you think about that old shepherd with his rod and with his staff. You know, sometimes it's comfort when he takes that rod and that staff, and a wolf is coming after the flock, and he stands boldly against that old wolf and drives him off. We have a good shepherd that'll be there for you when the old devil throws everything that he can at you. You have one that is greater in you than he that is in the world. And will not eternally lose any one of his child. Every one of them that are in the flock of Almighty God will get home to heaven. He won't lose one of them. Now, there are sometimes the sheep wander and stray and get outside of his watch care. Sometimes outside of the watch care of the under shepherds. And even as they try the best they can to help God's little children, sometimes those little hard-headed sheep want to go ahead and do it their way, and they can get in trouble. But isn't it wonderful to know we can't get so far away from God that we lose our eternal home? That's a great comfort and a consolation to us tonight. It is also wonderful to know that God won't just allow us to go out there and stay out there without correcting us. That rod and that staff that comfort you not only drives away the enemy, but sometimes it's applied to the little lambs and the little sheep, where he'll pull them back into the fold. He'll protect them, and his watch care will not leave them. And though the rod and the staff at the moment doesn't seem very comforting to the sheep, have you had some of those little whippings from the Lord? One of the greatest blessings you'll ever have in your life to give you evidence that you belong to the Lord is when He chastens you, and when you can't get away with it. You know, sometimes you think, I wish I could just get away with it. He sassed me. I wish I could just sass Him back and get away with it. I wish I could just say sometimes, we think, I wish I could just say some of those things that everybody else says, and I didn't have to be bound where I'm at. Be thankful that you're under bondage. And I'm not talking about under bondage and sin. I'm talking about you are a prisoner of the Lord. You belong to Him. You're bought with a price. You are His servant, not because you chose Him, but because He chose you. And you will never get outside of that. And when you and I disobey Him, His rod and His staff, even in chastisements, will comfort us. And be thankful that we have such a Savior. Now, He's given us all of this instruction about life, which makes life worth living. We can go tonight trusting in the Lord, and I can come into the pulpit and say, Lord, bless me. Give me what I stand in need of, whether it be a little bit, whether it be a whole lot. And if I leave it in the Lord's hand and don't mess it up myself, I'll have exactly what I need as I stand before you. And not only that, as you pray in your seat, and you see sometimes the old preacher struggles, because they do, and sometimes you feel like they're laboring and they're working hard, pray for those brethren and pray that the Lord either will bless them to have the truth and be able to share it, or He will bless them to sit down and get out of the way and you know, don't have to always talk. Sometimes it's just good, isn't it, just to be still in the presence of the Lord. You know, I'm learning that a lot on my walks, and I've to share that some with you. Just walking out in this old world and seeing the beauty of His creation, sometimes it's just good to be quiet. Just good to be quiet and listen and hear Him. Hear His voice all around us. Hear Him in the singing of the birds. Hear Him in the, you know, in the sounds of the woods and the sound of a brook, right? Walking up a trail, walking down by the cabin with Brother Terry the other day. We did some talking, but we also saw a whole lot of beautiful things. Just to see the beautiful flowers, did some sweating too, going up that hill and walking along the way. But it was a good. I felt it was, you know, most of the time when I'm doing a workout, I'm just glad when it's over. Just glad when it's over. But it was good to walk along with a brother. I believe my brother in Christ. And to have fellowship along the way. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And to feel the closeness and the kinship that we have in the Lord. And to feel that He's really with us and that He's watching over us and He's taking care of us, it doesn't make my problem so big. It doesn't make my trouble so big. And it certainly helps me when I think about death and dying. And that's an important thing in this world. It's not something people... You're not going to find people filling coliseums talking about death and dying. Come on over. We're going to talk about dying tonight. You know, we're going to sing about dying. We're going to talk about dying. And we're going to smile while we talk about it. And that isn't because we're longing for it in the sense of the old physical body. But I'll tell you, for God's little children, there'll never be a better day that you live than the day the Lord sees fit in His time to call you home out of this old troubled world. Because at that moment, all of your cares, all your troubles, all your problems will be over. You won't have them anymore. And for God's little children, remember that. For God's little children, it'll be a great blessing. Now, does that mean we ought to live wanting to die? No. In the Lord's time, dying is a blessing. But in the Lord's time, living is a blessing. As long as He gives you life to live, you ought to live it. Live it to the honor and the praise and the glory of God. Live it to occupy the place He's given you to occupy in a way you let your light so shine before men that others see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Live it in a way that you're a benefit to others of God's children that are here in an old troubled world that sometimes are in the highways and the hedges and need a little help along the way to get out of the troubles that they're in. Listen, you've got a message God's given you. Every one of you have a message of grace that God has given you that is worthy to be shared. It ought to be shared. Some will hear it and hate it, but there are some of God's little children who have a receiver, and the faith that you have can be shared with them with the faith they have, and they can see the righteousness of God shared from faith to faith in the gospel. You know, that's what we get out of church, that if you don't have a receiver, you won't see. If you don't have faith to pick it up, you won't hear it. You can come to the meeting and say, I don't know what that bunch was doing. They all sat over there and cried and talked about dying. And they talked about it being a mystery. It's still a mystery to me. I didn't get anything out of it. Because I don't see anything good about dying. It just seems like the cessation of life that I'm going to stop living. And that's all I can see about it. I want you to know, for God's little children, death is not the end of life. It is a continuation of the eternal life that is in you. And it's to a state and to a level that you've never really lived before. You have a fullness of life that you'll have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We already have that in us now, but we'll have the full of that when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, shall be done away. We'll see Him face to face. Can you imagine how little Fanny Crosby felt? She wrote that hymn, and when I can see Him face to face, that little blind sister, not seeing anything, but by faith. She saw Him by faith. I believe she saw Him, don't you? I believe she saw Him. I believe she got as much out of the meeting, if not more, than anybody there. And I believe she saw because of the hymns that she wrote, oh, when I can see Him face to face. What a day that was for her when she left this world and she closed her eyes in death, which were already blinded, and opened them to see His glorious face and to see His majesty. I'll tell you, the glorified Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration was so bright and so wonderful. He was glistering, whiter than fuller soap. I don't know what that must have looked like, but I'll tell you, it caused Peter, James, and John to just stand in awe at what they saw. And I know one thing, when we see Him face to face, what a day that's going to be. You know, I've enjoyed some good meetings. I've had a good time this weekend. I hope I'm still having a good time. I wish Brother Jason was here, but I'm having a good time. I'm having a good time. I'd take any of those brethren right now. I'd put them right in the pulpit and listen to them, because I just tell me that story, that wonderful truth of Jesus Christ Tell it to me over and over. It's helped me when I've been sick. It's helped me when my family's been in trouble. It's helped me when I've had God's little children needing something and you didn't know what to say. It's helped me when I stood by the graveside of those who've lost loved ones and you did wonder, how am I going to comfort these whose hearts are broken, who love this person so much? What could I say or what could be said to help them? I'm telling you, these words, the gospel, has been a help to God's little children in the most difficult of times. Is that not something you can say amen to tonight? Has it not helped you? And I'll tell you, there's a hope that we have. A hope in living and a hope even in dying. We don't sorrow. Though we sorrow, we don't sorrow as others who have no hope. The text says, behold, I show you a mystery. And it is a mystery. Death is a mystery to the world. Oh, they don't understand it. They're afraid of it. As a matter of fact, people don't like it. Don't want to talk about it. If you bring it up, and it'll stop the conversation most of the time. People don't want to talk about it. But old Baptists, I guess, talk about it more than anybody I know. They sing about death. How many songs tonight do we sing about dying and about going home to be with the Lord in glory? And what a day that'll be. Oh, farewell, vain world. I'm going home. My Savior bids me come. And there's a land that's fairer than day, you know. And by faith we see it afar. But oh, one day I long to leave this world in death and be able to go to be with the Lord. Or that He would come and gather me while I'm still alive. And the Bible tells us that's going to happen. And it's going to happen in His time, not known unto us, not even known unto the Son. I don't know how to explain all about that, but known only unto the Father is that hour that He is going, that Jesus is going to return. And when He comes, He's not going to come quietly. He's going to come with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. We have a great mystery here about those who are asleep. And He talks about death as sleep. That's good news tonight. You know, there's nothing wrong with sleep, is it? You know, when He said that about the one that Lazarus was in the tomb. Remember, Lazarus had been sick and Martha and Mary had called for the Lord. And the Lord tarried just a little while. And Lazarus had gotten so sick that he told the disciples that Lazarus sleepeth. He said, behold, we go. But Lazarus sleepeth. And He said, well, if he sleepeth, Lord, he doeth well. They thought he must have been just asleep. And Jesus said, no. You don't understand, really. He said, Lazarus is dead. When He talked about Lazarus sleeping, He said, Lazarus is dead. So what is death? You know, I think of the dear ones here that have gone on. And my mind tonight, as we sang those hymns, couldn't help but go to the thoughts of the different ones that came through my mind. We sang a hymn of a dear elder that I love so much, that he loved that hymn so much. Here in the vineyard of my Lord, and I could hear him singing that hymn. He didn't sing too well. His wife sang like an angel, but he didn't sing too well. But he sang anyway. And I could hear him singing it. You know, and I thought, he's already experiencing that. He's already in the presence of the Lord. He talked about being in the church. That's what that hymn is talking about. But he's in a better meeting tonight than you and I are in. He's in a better place. Those of God's little children that have gone on to be with the Lord, they're far better off than we are. Now somebody said, but they're asleep, aren't they? Well, their body is asleep. That's what he was talking about. Lazarus was asleep, but Lazarus's soul was not asleep. Lazarus's spirit was not asleep, but his body was asleep. And according to the scripture, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That at the moment of death, the soul departs from the body and the spirit departs from the body and goes back to God who gives it and is there in the presence of the Lord at the very moment of death. And at that moment, all pain ceases, all trouble ceases, all problem ceases, all crying ceases, whether it's a little baby crying or whether it's an adult crying. All the cares and the troubles of this world are over. Do you really believe this? Is that something you really believe tonight? Is that something we just talk about, or is that real? Is it real? Is heaven a real place? Is there a real Savior up there who loves His people? Is there a real God the Father who had a love for His people and He sent His only begotten Son? Did the Savior really come and die at Calvary? Listen, there were many eyewitnesses. Not only that he died, but that he was buried. And on that third revolving morning, he came forth victorious over death and hell and the grave. And I'm telling you, he has taken the sting of death away so that you and I don't have to fear death anymore, because he's gone that way before us. And everything you and I have to face, he's already prepared the way. Somebody said, but I don't know the way. Thomas said that, Lord, I don't know the way. He said, I am the way. Tonight he's given us that in his word. I am the way and the truth and the life. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now what does that mean? That means not all of us are going to die. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. He says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. What that's saying is that we'll all not die in the sense that our bodies will go to sleep and the spirit and soul will depart and be with the Lord, because there's going to be some that are alive and remain when Jesus comes again, and we'll all be changed. Listen, all of us got to be changed. That means this old body that I'm living in right now, this old tabernacle of clay, it ain't fit for heaven yet. I've got to be clothed upon. I have to have a change. I have to have that which is mortal turned into immortal, this old body. The soul is immortal, but the body is not immortal. And in a sense, the soul is not, if it's left in its state in death, because in Adam we died. And there's listen, it doesn't mean you stop existing. It simply means there's a separation between us and God, where we cannot live in the presence of God without something being done for us. And that's what he did at Calvary. He at Calvary took on our sins in his own body and nailed them to the tree of the cross so that they'd never be remembered against us anymore. And all those sins were removed from us. And not only did he do that, every blessing that Jesus has earned and merited, he has given to us as his children, which includes our home in heaven, as well as every blessing you and I have had in time. And if you and I start counting tonight, he's daily loaded us every day with benefits. Every day. How many of them have you deserved? Be careful when you answer. How many of them have you earned? And how many of you, what have you merited? There you go, brother. Zero. Not one. Not a single one. And I'll tell you what we would have gotten had we got our just deserts. We would be afraid of death, because death would have a venom sting where we would be separated from God forever. And there would be no hope for us. We would be in an eternal death, an eternal torment away from God in a place called hell that's prepared for the devil and the angels. Listen, this won't fill Colosseums, but it is the truth. And if we hadn't had that deliverance by the grace of Almighty God, there'd be no hope for us tonight. But here's the good news. Brother, we got hope. We got hope. And that hope isn't a feeble wish. I don't want you to think for a minute it's just like, I hope I got something. Like, I hope I get to town. I hope I get back to Madison. I hope I get back to Front Royal tonight. I hope my car will start when I go and turn the key. I hope this and I hope that. It's a hope that's anchored in the veil. It's anchored up. I have a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, who cannot fail. Listen, my hope cannot fail. He's an anchor to the soul. He's sure and he's steadfast. And somebody said, well, can you see him? No, but I can feel the tug, can't you? I can feel him. And in a sense, I see him. I see Jesus tonight. That's what makes me happy. Makes me goofy. You know? Makes you silly. Like in the midst of a storm, where somebody's in trouble, you can say, okay, listen, it's going to be all right. Because though we can't do it, he'll never fail. And I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know what's coming. I don't know what's around the bend. But I know who holds it. Don't you? Don't you know who holds tomorrow? Listen, I know that I don't have it. But I know when I look to the Lord, as I have in my life, I've always found every time more than I could ever imagine. And what I've seen is just the tip of the iceberg of what's there for us as God's little children. He said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You know what that means? Every one of God's children one day is going to be changed and made just like him, fashioned like unto his glorious body. And you know how many he's going to lose? Not one. Not one of them. So many say, well, God's tried to get everybody and He sent us out in the world to try to gather them up. And I'm out here saving as many as I can before it's everlastingly too late. And that tells us about a God who loves everybody, which the Bible tells us He doesn't love everybody. It says He loves His people. By the way, His people are a lot of people, but it's not everybody. We know that from the Scripture itself that He doesn't love everyone, because He said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And I believe God loved Jacob with a perfect love, and He hated Esau with a perfect hatred. And I don't understand all about that. Maybe sometimes I do know this. I have a hard time understanding why God loved any of us. Because I'll tell you, all we ever did in our life was do what we do. It is zero, right? That's what we would deserve from Him. My life would be vanity and emptiness. Not one good thing. Not one right thing. Not one good thought. Not one good behavior, not one good action. And even now, as a little child of God, when I would do good, by the grace of God in me, even when I would do good, I've got that old evil present with me. I'm telling you, I'm not fit for heaven in that state. That's why Jesus is not going to take us to heaven in that state. There's a change that's got to come. And that change has taken place to some degree already in the heart and the new birth. He's made you a new creature, hasn't He? He took away the hard and stony heart and put in there a heart of flesh. He gave you a love for things you once hated. That's what's going on with you now. Where you used to love this and used to love that and used to love... You got an old flesh that still loves it, but you can't do it like you used to, can you? Because you go after those things, you know. I can tell people all just as good today as I ever did. But I'll tell you what happens when I'm finished. I don't feel good about it. Used to feel real good about it. Tell them all, boy, that gave him a good one. Now I sit there and go, why? I feel the Lord saying to me, little boy, I've been so good to you. I've blessed you so much. I have been with you in trouble and in problems and in all kinds of things, and have taken care of you. And all that I've forgiven you for, can you not forgive your brethren just a little bit when I have forgiven you so much? And that's what following Him is all about. Listen, following Him is to act like He did and behave like He did, to forgive like He did, to love like He did. And He's loved those that were so unlovable. And He's reached down to those that were so needy. And He reached down where they were and He had just what they had. That's the Savior that we serve. And He says, not all shall sleep, but all shall be changed. How quick is that change going to happen? He says in verse 52, in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye. And I often thought, how quick is the twinkling of an eye? You know, you think about a blink of an eye, and that's pretty fast. Blink of an eye seems pretty fast. But a twinkle of the eyes even faster, ain't it? And that's how this resurrection is going to happen. That's how when the Lord comes again, the change is going to happen. It isn't going to be some slow process that takes a long period of time. It's going to act a lot quicker than Congress. It's going to act a lot quicker than all the actions of the governments of this world. I'm telling you, the one who said there, let there be light, and there was light, didn't have any trouble turning the light on. And when He comes again, He's not going to have any trouble changing these vile bodies like unto His glorious body, and we'll be like Him and be satisfied. He'll have no problem doing that. And who's going to that happen to? It's going to happen to all of His children. Now, some of them are asleep and in the grave, and there's going to be a change in them immediately, and they're coming forth in their resurrected body, glorified bodies, fashioned like unto Him. And somebody said, what about those that weren't buried? Does He know where they are? Absolutely. Had a little sister one time said, how could we possibly believe the Lord could get all that together? And I simply shared with her, I said, sister, He made all of this out of nothing. If He could make all of this out of nothing, how's it good? You know, to take something and bring it back together with God, with man, it would be impossible. But oh, how much is impossible with us? I'll tell you what, with man, so much is impossible, but not with God. For man, it's impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. And He says, for this, He said, we shall be, He says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Oh, there's going to be a trump sound. It's going to be the last trump. That's going to be it. And the Lord's going to sound that trump. And it's going to be heard. It ain't, you know, you don't matter how whether your hearing aids are working or not. It's going to be heard. That last trump. And for the trumpet shall sound. And what's going to happen when the trumpet is sound? There's also, if you read over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I don't think we have time to look at it, but I'll tell you where it's at, go look at it. It says, the voice of the archangel, which I believe is the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the trump of God, and at that moment the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain will not prevent them which are asleep. That means we'll not go before them. They'll come first, and there'll be a resurrection of them. And somebody said, well, do you think the graves are going to open, or do you think they're coming through the graves without them open? I can tell you what, I believe you're going to see that it's a resurrection. I believe it's going to be evident. I don't believe they're going to have to. Just like Jesus didn't have to have the stone rolled away for him to get out of the tomb, they rolled away the stone to show there was an empty tomb. And I'm telling you what, there's going to be empty graves. Because those that are sleeping, Jesus is going to rise. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. That doesn't mean everybody's God's children. There'll be some, even the devils, who will be forced to acknowledge that He is a greater power than they are. And they will acknowledge that. They won't today, but they will acknowledge it. And all mankind will acknowledge it. Some will acknowledge it, and God's children will acknowledge it in a worshipful way. And the others will acknowledge it in that He has more power than me. He has more power than me. He says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. How are they coming forth? Incorruptible. That means they'll die no more. They'll die no more. The dead are going to be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible, that's me right now, it's got to put on incorruption. Some people say when you're born of the Spirit of God, at that point you start walking perfect. That means you have no more sin about you. And if you have any sin about you, then you're really not His. Well, a person like that could just go right on into heaven like they are because they're already perfect. That wouldn't need a change. The Apostle Paul didn't seem to believe that because he said he was coming and he's going to change this vile body. What did Paul say about his body? And it was after he was born again, he said he's going to change this vile body because this corruptible, this old vile body has to be changed. There has to be a change in order for us to be with Him in heaven. Listen, God's not going to have our corruption in heaven. If there would be corruption in heaven, then heaven wouldn't be heaven. We're going to go into heaven incorruptible. And how is that possible? I'm telling you, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has made it possible. Our sins can be removed from us by the righteousness of Almighty God, and we're made righteous like unto Him, and God's going to do that justly because of what Jesus did in our room instead. See, God would not just do that if it wasn't right to do. It had to be done right. That's when Jesus said, "Oh Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done." What He was saying is there was absolutely no way that these of God's little children who are corruptible will ever be incorruptible or ever be fit for heaven without the death, without my death. And what he's saying is that I had to die. Listen, Jesus didn't go to the cross because it was just happened to be one way. It was the only way God's little children could be saved. And He didn't try to do it. I'm glad tonight I don't have to sit up here and tell you He tried to save you. And He wants to save you and plead with you and beg with you to just help Him out because He's doing all He can do. I want you to know we had a God who loved with an everlasting, unconditional love. And when it came time to save His people, He didn't have any trouble doing it. And what He did was defeat the Satan and all that was necessary for God's little children to be with Him in heaven. And a proof of that is the resurrection of His body from the grave. And He ascended up to the right hand of the Father, seated in heaven. And the fact our prayers are heard tonight. Have our prayers been heard? I believe they have. Have your prayers been heard in the past? You know what that says? There's a resurrected Savior interceding for you who's seated on the right hand of the Father who's one day coming again, and with the sound of the trumpet and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, He's going to change your corruptible body and make it incorruptible so that we'll be fit to live with Him. And by the way, this old body's mortal, which means it's meant to die. It's going to die. In the day thou eatest of, thou shalt surely die. which happened with Adam. At the moment he ate, his body began to die. He was there in a state where he would not have died, but because he did what God told him not to do, sin and death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And what happened to Adam happened to you and happened to me. And there would be nothing but the sentence of death in us. If your only help tonight was me as a preacher, and my only help to you tonight would be you, you and I are in trouble. Because I've got the sentence of death in me, and you have the sentence of death in you, and we need someone greater than that. And I'm telling you tonight about a Savior who is life and eternal life. Jesus, the Son of God. And he says this. He says, for this corruptible must put on, let me get this. He said this, and we shall be changed. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Is it any chance we won't be? No, who is going to be changed? Every one of God's children. Every one of them will be changed. And he says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. That means in order to be with him in glory, we must put on incorruption. How many of God's children are corruptible? All of them. How many of them must put on incorruption? Every one of them. Who will he do that for? Every one of them. He will clothe. Paul said he desired not to be unclothed, but to be clothed upon, that corruptible might put on incorruption. You and I are not just wanting to die just to die. We want to die and go home to be with the Lord, which is far better. We want to be with Him. We want to be in that place where this old man, do you have trouble with this old man? Does he bother you? That old woman bother you? Do you have a warfare going on? What a day it'll be when we don't have that battle anymore. We'll see Him face to face, know all that He's done for us, and just be so very thankful. He said, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall it put on incorruption, and this mortal shall it put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And this is a quote from Isaiah 25 and verse 8, where it was written in the Old Testament that death is swallowed up in victory. And I'm telling you what, that occurred when Jesus Christ died on the cross, but the fullness of it occurred, the cause of it occurred when Jesus died. The fullness occurs when every one of His children are finally changed and made like unto Him, and death is no more. It's swallowed up in victory. And the power of that is in the cross. He said in verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? I love this verse. He said, O death, where is thy sting? Tonight you and I can look at death and say, O death, where is your sting? Why would death not have a sting? Tonight, if you believe in that you have something to do with your salvation, death still for you and your conscience has its sting. You're scared to death of it tonight. If you think you got to get it straight, there's a whole lot of people think they got to get it straight. Jesus did all He can do, but if I don't do something, you know them. You see them. They're concerned. They say sometimes that they're not. They say, I know that I've done everything that I needed to do. I know that I'm okay. And even to hear it in the voice, there's really no assurance in that. Listen tonight, we said blessed assurance. You know why? Because Jesus is mine. Not because I got to be His. He made me His. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. I belong to Him. And my hope tonight is not in what I've done for Him, but in what He's done for me. And because of that, I know that death has lost its venom sting, because Jesus has gone that way before me, and He has conquered death, hell, and the grave. And the very fact that He's a resurrected Savior gives me evidence that I will also be raised like in Him, and my hope is that He's done that for me, not in that I'm doing something for Him. O death, where is thy sting? A little child of grace can go out of this world saying, O death, where is your sting? And O grave, where is your victory? So the old devil would like us to believe tonight the grave has a victory over us, but it don't. He wants to scare you. Daddy used to say he's like a roaring lion going around seeking who he can devour. But the Lord knocked his teeth out, so all he can do is roar. He really can't bite you. He just makes you think he can. He really can't rob you. I know he can rend God's little children. I know the old devil, if we give him room and give him space, can bring great damage to us as God's children. But I'm telling you, he cannot touch your eternal destiny. You're hedged about. Just like he had Job hedged, he has you as his children hedged. And I'm telling you, there is no victory in the grave, because Jesus has gone the way before us and he's a resurrected Savior. He said, the sting of death is sin. Hear me. The sting of death is sin. The more we have sin in our life, the more we see sin, the more the old grave scares us and frightens us. And how in the world could we ever get to be sin free? Can I do enough good to get sin free? Can I start doing enough of the right things to get sin free? Can I just stop sinning and start going another way? The Bible says it's impossible. For the as impossible as an Ethiopian changing the color of his skin, or a leopard to change his spot, for those who are accustomed to do evil just to change and start doing good. It's that impossible. It takes a work of grace in an individual in order to desire to even do good. And then it says the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Listen, once we understand that Jesus has taken care of the law, and Jesus has taken, he fulfilled the law, the sting of death is gone. The strength of sin is gone because he's removed sin from us. How far? As far as the east is from the west. And so that's why he says in verse 57, he says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we'll close tonight at verse 58. I thought I'd get to 1 Thessalonians 4, but that's okay. I get over there, we might be here a long time. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Tonight, let us be steadfast. Let us be looking to him. Trust him for living. Listen, we're trusting him for dying. Trust him for living. Trust him for that operation that's upcoming. Trust him that he'll take care of the doctor. Trust him as you face life's troubles. Trust him as my dad faces what he faces. Leave it in the Lord's hands. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ever ask or think. He said, be ye steadfast, unmovable. That means grounded in the word, in the truth of God's word. Unmovable. Always abounding. That means don't do it halfway. When we go to church, don't do it halfway. When you read your Bible, don't do it halfway. When you pray, don't do it halfway. When you call upon the Lord, don't do it halfway. When you're doing good to the brethren or for the brethren, don't do it halfway. Do it with all, as much as you can, putting on the whole armor of God. Walk as obedient to the Lord as you can, not to become his child, but because you are, and because of what he's promised you. Always abounding in what? In the work of the Lord. Tonight, I don't think there's anything more important than you and I could have done than to meet here at this little church to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And as we go out the door, there's nothing more important to do than to take up our cross and follow him step by step as he opens the door. I believe he's with us all the time, don't you? Do you believe he's everywhere present and nowhere absent? Do you believe when we listen to him, he talks to us and he guides you? And he tells you when to talk? You know that old tongue is hard to bridle. And that old tongue, it wants to, he tells you what to say. It can be bridled by man and his power. You can't bridle the tongue, but I'll tell you what. The Lord gives you the ability to have the words, his words in your mouth. And he'll fill your mouth with his words. He said, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. He will put a new song in your heart. Even praises unto God. Rather than complaining, we can be praising him. And oh, it takes the Lord to do that. He said, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And he says this, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Have you got any labor in your life right now that's been in vain? Have you got some things you really tried to get done but just didn't happen? It just ain't working. It just flopped. I've wasted a whole lot of time in this world doing a whole lot of things that I thought was really important at the time. Thought it was essential. Had to get this done. Neglected things far more important to get this done. Neglected things that would have been the will of God for me to do. I'm telling you what, know this. Whenever you're serving the Lord, your labor is not in vain. It's not empty. God will bless it. Sometimes we wonder, "Is I'm trying to sow, Lord, but I don't see anything." Listen, just wait. You just wait patiently on the Lord. And as we trust in the Lord and wait patiently on him, you know who's going to be let down? Not one of his little children will be ashamed that they trusted in the Lord. You can trust in men and get ashamed real quick that you trusted in them because they can let you down. But if you trust in the Lord, he will never, ever let down one of his little lambs. He's coming one day to get us. He's promised to do that. And until that time, He'll take care of us. Isn't that good news? That's the gospel. And listen, it isn't because we did anything for Him. It's because He did it for us. May we give Him tonight the glory and the honor and the praise that's due His name. I appreciate your kind attention. What number? 193.